call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the dedication and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Please be with those in attendance. Please be with our residents. Please be with our military. Please guide this meeting tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce.
Here.
Councilmember Grant. Councilmember Lehman.
Here.
Councilmember Wilson.
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca. Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich.
Here.
Mayor Pierce.
Here. Councilmember Grant and Councilmember Apodaca did indicate that they would not be here this evening. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have one person signed up. Mr. Stevens, would you like to wait till your agenda item?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Item 6, consideration and action on minutes of regular meeting minutes, May 24th, 2018.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the regular meeting minutes of May 24th, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the regular meeting minutes of May 24th. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Item 7A, employee of the quarter presentation. Item 7B, traffic control on FM 78. I will turn this over to our police chief, Kevin Boyce.
Council members, thank you for allowing me to speak. I wanted to just take a little bit of time to kind of address some concerns that council members and some citizens had about the lack of traffic control up on FM 78. So what I did was I kind of went back, did a three-month survey, and then kind of looked back a little bit further just to see how much activity that the officers are doing up on 78 on a daily basis. And what I found was that on average throughout the year, Some factors to take into consideration for that. We get a lot of requests. For instance, we've got operations working on Autumn Lane. Last council or the council before, there was a gentleman here that voiced concerns on benzene on the road, on speeding, and we're addressing those issues as well. We wind up with unique challenges due to the fact that under normal circumstances, there's only two officers on duty, so they are consistently running. Something that I have started now that school is out, my usual standing orders during morning rush hour is one officer is required to be in the school zone in the elementary school, just to make sure that that those kids get to and from safely. Now, school is over, so I've redirected those tasks. During rush hour, unless they have another call, they're supposed to be up on 78. That is going to hinge on what else is going on in the city. If you've been following us on Facebook, we've made four major felony arrests within the last 3 days, and a lot of times that takes more than just one or two officers. That's all hands on deck. Yesterday, I went out there, my sole task was secure the vehicle, make sure nobody took the vehicle, and I was actually working as a backup officer for the officers handling that. So at those times, you're going to see lower numbers when it comes to actual traffic enforcement. Unfortunately, I've got to kind of prioritize, and when it comes down to stuff like aggravated assaults and burglaries in progress, I've got to decide where to send the units. I need more help on the assaults than the traffic. So I do have some plans in the future working with our traffic officer, Officer Caldwell, to see what we can do about increasing the presence up on FM 78. I've also got a plan with a reserve officer that I'm appointing here. He's looking for a new place to hang his hat. And the unique ability with him is he's a certified motor officer and comes equipped with his own motorcycle. So I reached out to the city attorney and spoken to the city manager to see if there's something that we can do to bring him on board and utilize his talents and his skills with that equipment to try and increase his presence up. If anybody has any questions, I'll be free to entertain them, or you can get with me one-on-one after council, and we can kind of discuss more with what we're going to do with 78 in the coming months.
Thank you, Chief.
Anybody have any questions?
All right, thanks, Chief. Item 8A, discussion and possible action, update discussion and possible action on the Kirby Heights garbage collection.
I will come on. Mr. Armstrong.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I see you guys brought in a bouncer to your meetings. Good idea. This past week, myself, Terry Gavlik, met with Chief of Police as well as Vinny and Mr. Martinez here. Regarding the Kirby Heights issue, we've come to a resolution, and Republic Services has offered to pave an area of that parking lot so that our trucks would have the ability to turn around in Mr. Bilotti's property there. So I think that will resolve the issue. We will continue to service the five residential homes with the rear load trucks that are doing it now, and then we'll be able to service the two commercial containers, Mr. Bilotti's and Mr. Martinez, with a side load truck utilizing the concrete pad that we're gonna put down where we can turn around there. One other item that was brought to my attention tonight by one of the citizens that lives on Kirby Heights is that recycling hasn't been picked up, and that never even crossed my mind, but that's a whole nother truck that we would have to run. So I need to check with my operations folks and see if it's possible for us to peel off one of the rear load recycle trucks to see if they'll be able to go pick that up. Now, once we have that pad placed with concrete there, we'll be able to service it no problem. So I need to check to see if we're going to be able to service that recycling in the interim. But we're going to be bringing in an engineer to spec it out. It's Mr. Bilotti's property, so he's going to tell us exactly where we can put it. But we've gained agreement from Mr. Bilotti and Mr. Martinez. I believe they're pleased with the resolution.
Well, hopefully, yeah, we went out there and we saw the area, and basically it's what we had initially discussed about 2 months before. But thank God, it seems this way. The only thing that I'd like to comment on is Terry had mentioned the fact that possibly there's going to be a little revision on the contract. And I'm hoping that on that revision that, you know, it's in the best interest of, you know, the Kirby customers, you know, because they want to mention specific side loaders, rear loaders, and front loaders. And I noticed on the contract that I was given by the city with Republic, it doesn't specify. It just says it services both residential and commercial. And I'm just hoping that, you know, it'll address it to where it'll be just, you know, for the customers of Kirby. And hopefully what we came down with as far as a solution, hopefully it'll work. It's going to be tentative for the time being, but hopefully it'll work.
So when is the slated finish date?
We, you know, once it's agreed to, we'll get our engineers out there. I don't know, but I wouldn't think it would take more than a couple weeks.
But in the meantime, residential pickup, and that's happening. And
yes,
that's not going to be impeded because we're waiting for the other piece of it.
No. And as far as the contract, what Terry was referring to is...
Actually, we can't talk about that. We can only talk about the Kirby Heights garbage collection. That piece isn't on our agenda.
Okay.
So we'll have to bring that up at a...
He brought that.
At an agenda. I know. That's what I'm saying. But since you were going to speak to it, I'm just stopping.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so that piece is, as far as that's concerned,
that's resolved.
Public's resolved. Our commercial property owners are resolved. So this piece is, okay. All right. Thank you.
Can I stay up here
you
for
can.
The next one?
Yes. All right, item 8B, update, discussion, and possible action regarding the Republic Services broken carts.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I see that you guys brought in a bouncer to your meeting. I was first brought in, I guess it was around May 10th, to address the problem with broken carts in the community, and then I followed up at the next meeting on May 24th. And on May 24th, I reported that we had addressed 85 cans at that time. As of today, we have addressed between 200 and 225 carts in the city, and that is either replacing them or repairing the wheels or lids. If they have a broken body on them, we're replacing the cart. But we have our drivers proactively looking for damaged carts, and they're calling them in. And we've had a CD driver, which is a container delivery truck, each service day in the community, driving up and down looking for issues. And they've addressed a lot of cans. So I drove through myself before the meeting, and I saw one that had a lid that was messed up, but that was really all I saw. So I think it's in a lot better shape now than it was. The last meeting also reported that on our automated truck, one of the arms wasn't working correctly. So we completely replaced that arm on that truck. And then on two of the other trucks, we rebuilt those arms. So we had a little issue with the hydraulics smoothly coming down. Also, our residential operations supervisor, Danielle Raykamp, and Terry Gavlik have been coming out on Thursdays and following the truck to kind of watch them service. And a couple things that they picked up on that I think are good for everyone to know is we would really prefer it if the carts were placed on the street instead of up on the curb. Some people do it on the street. Some people do it on the curb. The problem with on the curb is that arm is programmed to drop the can down to street level, to the bottom of the truck itself. So if it's up on the curb, it's stopping this far before the arm is done moving down. That's putting a lot of pressure on the bottom of the cart and breaking wheels. So I can work with Patty, and maybe we can put something on the website, or we can put a mailer out, or whatever you guys feel is best, but maybe a little education piece. And two other quick things that's happening is cans recycle and trash cans real close together. That causes the arm to have to kind of squeeze in there and pinch it. And then people putting it behind cars causes us either to have to get out of the truck or to try to get it from an angle, and it's picking it up from the side, puts undue pressure on that body as well. So it may be a good idea for us to get some information out to the residents on the best way to put the carts out on the street.
They're in the street, Chief?
Yeah, I went through the ordinance, and there's nothing that prohibits that. And then just kind of looking, we have a similar situation with the PD. Kind of looking at it, seems to make sense to do it that way. Also, we took into consideration impeding traffic flow, and you know, the car is considerably less wider than a parked car, so we don't think it would cause any specific traffic issues. And if I were asked for my opinion, then kind of be in favor of making that change.
So if the driver drops it and it goes in the middle of the street, is the driver going to stop and hit it? Because currently that's not happening. Currently, if the driver, it just drops wherever it drops, whether it's...
I can address that. Danielle was telling me she was following a driver, and she was in her personal vehicle because she didn't want him to know that she was following him. And a can dropped and trash came out, and the driver got out and picked up all the trash and set the cart back up. So I'm sure there's instances that doesn't happen. So I will address that with our operations folks to make sure that we continue to coach on that item.
Have the calls slowed down, Patty? As far as have the calls for the broken carts slowed down in ours?
I don't really have any ideas.
We have proactively repaired nearly 10% of the carts. So like if it's 225, I think there's 2,800 homes out there. So it's a good percentage of the carts that are out there that have been addressed. But we will continue to be diligent in proactively checking those and finding them.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Some of the suggestions. Today, if you paid attention to where all the carts were when they emptied them, they were all sitting in the street. So that, you know, apparently the driver's doing what your suggestion is where they ought to be to start with. So I have no problem with that.
Well, and that's what's common in most municipalities, is that they're put on the street with the wheels up against the curb, so that they're not, you know, out, you know, blocking the flow of traffic. And that's where we do that in all of our cities, is we put them down right there. And I'm not sure why Kirby puts them on the curb, but some do and some don't.
I mean, it's been a while ago, but I don't think there was really any specification of asking people. The only thing I really remember is making sure that it wasn't so full to make sure that the lid actually shut, or else y'all weren't going to pick them up or something to that effect.
We do, but
I know you do because I see it. I'm saying that's the only actual communication I actually remember specifically.
You guys have an issue with me working with Patty on putting a piece either on the website or
no,
a direct mailer or
I
something
mean,
like that?
Communication to our residents, and you know, to make sure that everybody has a good understanding of what's expected. I mean, the end goal is to make sure that it's an expedient process and that there's not broken carts and trash everywhere. So
great.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 8C, discussion and possible action on request from Donna Charette to conduct a rummage sale using the parking lot located at 5510 Duffick to benefit hand-me-down hounds. Donna here. We can go forward with this item, or Patty, do you know if this person, if she was going to show up, or? I'll entertain a motion to table.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to table item 8C till our next council meeting.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Lehman to table item 8C requesting use of the parking lot at 5510 Duffick. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. If we can bring that back up at the next council meeting. Item 8D, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-841, authorizing the city to enter into an agreement for ambulance EMS billing services with KMP Associates Incorporated, DBA Specialized Billing and Collection Systems of Texas, and authorizing the mayor or the city manager to execute such agreement. This is the first reading.
Okay, Mayor and Council, I have Blake here from Specialized Billing.
Good evening. My name is Blake Jamison. I am the Director of Government Relations for Specialized Billing based out of the Woodlands. We have been with the City of Kirby providing billing services since October 1st of 2011. What I provided here is just a base EMS revenue summary that goes over between 2015 and through May of 2018 so far. Your total number of calls, billed transports, the revenue data behind all of those calls for both billed transports and your billed non-transports as well. This captures the data based within the city of Kirby and with the contract with the county. The second line, and I apologize, I didn't put the year numbers down, but those are 2015 to 18 as well. You'll have your total deposits made and then with the Ambulance Services Supplemental Payment Program, the percentage increase from EMS transports that you've seen by being a part of that program as well. Just to kind of go over some of the numbers because they're probably not the most easy to understand just at a glance. The total number of calls, this is the total number of calls received anywhere, so regardless of whether it's within the city or within the county, it's just your flat total within this, the city of Kirby and Kirby's EMS department. The number of billed transports that is actually going to be only within the city, in all these little footnotes at the bottom, they do explain that. The revenue generated from transports, this is going to be the revenue generated from those billed transports. Those are next to each other because they both pertain to the city. So you'll see with 2015, you've got 505 billed transports, and then you have your $287,000. Right next to it. Those numbers pertain to each other. Moving on to the average paid per transport, that number will actually change based on the calendar year deposits. So if you have somebody with a late deposit, that number is actually going to increase. There's really no way. I mean, with 2015, 2016, you know, we're pushing 2-3 years. Those numbers are pretty well settled. But within the last year or two, those numbers will increase just because you do receive late payments and it's just the collections process. Your number of non-transports or no transports billed can be seen there alongside the revenue generated from no transports, and that is actually going to be only within the county. And within the county, you will see that mostly you are serving the Medicare population. And so that's just one of those statistics. And so moving on to the revenue generated from all EMS responses, those are going to be all calls. So transports, non-transports, everything is captured in there. Moving to that bottom half, total deposits made. That is the total number of bills collected and deposited with within the allocated time frame. So for 2015, 16, 17, 18, it's just whatever money was collected. Let's say you had some patient who had a date of service in 2016. If they're still making payments in 2018, you'll see that number increase. There's just a little bit of a lag because of the patient actually making payments on the account. In here, anything that you see ASSPP, that is the Ambulance Services Supplemental Payment Program. So what that is basically it's a federal pass-through payment program. I know most of you are probably familiar with it, but it's the state administering it. It is a federal program with using federal dollars. They are reimbursing the city of Kirby and other governmental EMS providers within the state of Texas for uncompensated care services. 2016 was the first year that the city of Kirby participated. 2017 and going into 2018, we will work together and participate as well, but the only number that we have to base it off of is 2016. So that's why you see a bunch of those NAs up there. But in 2016, City of Kirby received $157,000 from that program. And so with those next three numbers, you'll see the ASSPP settlement, and then there's two more. The number of calls applied to ASSPP, and then the average revenue generated per response. So if you take that $157,000 and divide that by the 159 calls, you'll see that that program generated $987 per EMS response. And then that last little section there, you've got your payer mix, self-pay, Medicare percentage, Medicaid percentage, commercial insurance. This is just across the board for the city. You'll see that there is an increase with 2017 to 2018 under self-pay. And the increase was because we were able to capture a significant amount of the non-transports once we had entered in the Ambulance Services Supplemental Payment Program. So that's why we jumped from 43% to 69%. We were able to get that revenue captured in that program. So any questions that you have, I'm more than happy to assist. So.
On the 2018, the annual totals, what time frame is that through? Is that through?
So 2018 is through the end of May. And so with that, obviously, we have a 95-day filing deadline, and then the Ambulance Services Supplemental Program for 2017 doesn't pay until they issue payments September 30th. So you'll receive the check the first 2 weeks of October. So once everything's settled in, all that gets factored in as well. But that's why that looks pretty insignificant there.
And what is generally the ones that are late pay? What is usually the time frame? Like, is it 180 days?
That's, I wish I had an easy answer. That's tricky because Medicare, Medicaid, commercial insurance, they all have their own regulations. I would say it would be surprising for an insured individual, whether it's Medicare or Medicaid, to see payments extend beyond 160 to 180 days. Those are usually settled within a couple months. With any of your calls that are going to need an appeal, you can count on an additional at least 95 days for that. But your non-transports, those are the tricky calls there, and there is a significant amount because at some point we do have to determine that is charity care and write that off so that we can allow these to be captured by grants or additional state and federal programs. But at the same time, there's a unique period because with any grant, you're receiving a percentage. A federal grant, the FMAP's going to be applied, so you receive less than 50%. So we do like to extend and leave that period open as long as we can with self-paid individuals, because if they do make that payment, we're getting a payment at 100% versus just a percentage based on state or federal grants and programs. So.
Would the lawyer have?
Mark, do you have any input?
Mayor, through Ms. Vernon, I submitted some requested revisions to the form of contract that the vendor presented. All of my recommended changes have been incorporated into the document that's in the council packet. So I share the finance director's recommendation to go forward with the renewal of this arrangement with this vendor.
I will entertain a motion.
Thank you.
Mayor, I move that we authorize the city to enter into an agreement with Ambulance Billing Service with K&P Associates Incorporated, DBA Specialized Billing and Collection Systems of Texas, and authorizing the city of mayor of the city of manager to execute the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2018-841. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Assistant Fire Chief, do you have any input, sir?
No, sir. We've been very happy with their services.
Sweet. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? All right. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-841, authorizing the city to enter to an agreement for ambulance billing services with K&P, passes for the first reading. This item will come back up for the second reading.
Thank you, sir.
Item 8E, discussion and possible action on Softball Association Park Agreement Renewal.
Evening.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, so this is a contract renewal for the next 2 years. That would expire May 31st, 2020. We've all been provided a copy of the insurance, and Chief, I believe, just handed us the receipt for that.
Payment, yes.
Yes. And the additional insured?
It's marked additional units insured as one. Right. It doesn't specifically name City of Kirby, but the policy takes an effect tomorrow, and then once I get issued the actual certificate, it'll have the City of Kirby with the address of the softball field on there. As soon as I get that, I'll send it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right. I would like to add, I was a little taken aback. I do follow the Kirby Softball Association Facebook page.
Okay.
And I was a little perplexed at a post that was made indicating that the city was trying to basically kick out the city, you know,
That wasn't the intent. It was just...
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was a lot of...
People took it the wrong way. Yes.
I would like to let you know that the only person that actually reached out to me of all the people that were going to storm City Hall and
yes.
was Mr. Mata, and he was very gracious in his request of what was going on, and I did share that. So, like I said, all the paperwork is here, and basically that's what it was. It was just a document, and... we didn't even get to meet with you because we had you on the last agenda and you had asked for it to be tabled until
yes.
you were able to be here. So that's why we're here today. So
the only thing I wanted to bring up on the previous lease agreement, it did specify that I wasn't allowed to have any, I guess, tournaments or anything during the week of the 4th of July or the Hobo Fest, which to me, I think, you know, that field is just open. I would like to see if we can motion to amend the new agreement and add that tournaments can be held, you know, for the benefit, you know, Hobo Fest in the 4th of July.
Is there any reason from Parks and Rec why that wouldn't be okay?
Carnival's on that one field. Huh? The carnival's on that one field.
Yeah, they do the softball is in the middle field.
Okay.
On the not where the carnival area is.
No, we were actually talking about that. But Kimberly's contact calling through that. It's kind of late in the game, but if we kind of like mention it, it would actually get enough benefit. It would bring more people out to the park. So,
definitely.
As long as it was something maybe that was brought through or somebody reached out to him, and if we approved it at that point, then
okay.
I wouldn't see an issue with it.
other thing I did notice in the contract that was signed in 2016, the council before had also, on May 12, 2016, they had actually reflected it to be usage on Sunday and Wednesday.
Yes.
But I noticed that this contract doesn't say that, so we may need to put that back in.
Okay.
Because
Little League uses those fields on the other days.
Right,
so not
because on the use, the current contract says tenant may use the property on Wednesdays and Sundays for the purpose of conducting athletic functions, but on the new agreement that we have, it doesn't have that specified. So I don't know if we need to specify that piece of it and also make the changes for to allow July 4th with that, as long as there's not something that's interfering with that.
That's good.
So we do have all the documentation here.
Yeah, just the certificate is just missing.
Yeah, so everybody does have that information. So I will entertain a motion for this that would include in the lease agreement for Wednesdays and Sundays under the use, and also to allow during July 4th and Hobo Fest, as long as it was in agreement with the other parties involved.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the Softball Association Park Agreement renewal for the next 2 years to have the dates of service on the contract changed to Wednesdays and Sundays, and to also allow tournaments for Hobo Fest and, I'm sorry, Volunteer Fire Department.
That's great.
Picnic and Hobo Fest with the approval of Parks and Rec Committee. I did say July 4th. I said it first.
All right, we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
Seconded
by Councilmember Wilson to accept the park agreement renewal with Kirby Softball Association terminating May 31st, 2020. That will include Wednesdays, Sundays, and tournaments allowed to be played during Hobo Fest, July 4th, and the Fireman's Picnic. Any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Stevens, you're good for another 2 years.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing y'all's tournament posts. All right. Item 8F, update, discussion, and possible action on Benzingelman Road reconstruction project. Ha, they sent somebody else. No.
Yes.
Don't want to be beat up.
Hello, my name's Arnold Martinez. I'm with Ford Engineering. I wanted to give you an update on the Benzingelman project. Currently, it's under phase one between Buzz Aldrin and Alan Shepard Drive. Currently, the street has been milled. Curbs have been poured in place. They should be completed with the curbs by the end of this week. The next 2 weeks, the contractor should be installing the sidewalks and the driveways, and all the backfill with the soil at that point. Hopefully they should be done with that and completed by the end of the month. They're shooting for the 27th of this month, actually. At the beginning of next month, they should be starting to place the 2-inch asphalt, and at the same time, they will also start milling on phase two. So that's basically a quick little update. I was out there this afternoon, and yes, the curbs are out there. They have probably like a day's worth of curbs to install. So if anybody has any questions.
I do. So there was, there's obviously a lot of talk about the traffic that's going in and out as far as through traffic. There was information sent out by SAC that from June 11th to June 22nd, that Benz Engelmann was actually closed through traffic from the hours of 7 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. From Buzz Aldrin to Alan Shepard, but that the weekends would allow, you know, that it wasn't closed to through traffic. So my question to you is, there is some signage that is very confusing as far as what's going through, because there's one sign that says detour, there's another sign that says through traffic, but then SAC put something out that said that it's only closed from June 11th to June 22nd, the entire street, from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. However, signs aren't removed, and so is there any specifics that, you know, something can be done as far as marking those areas to be more visible?
I can look into that. I don't have a good answer for you right now, but I can go back to the office and take a look at that and make sure that that gets addressed.
And then there's another area coming in on Springfield off of 410.
Mm-hmm.
There's, even though Swan Lane is being used as a detour, there's no sign that says off of Springfield to turn, so people are getting up to Benz Engelmann before they realize that they can't go down Benz Engelmann. So it's causing frustration there, and people are unfortunately going down Benz Engelmann during those times.
Okay.
And I'm, go ahead, sorry.
And I think part of the confusing is that they have all these lanes blocked off, but they're allowing cars to go through. They're actually, you know, having one way and two way, they're having somebody standing out there directing traffic. And the roads are so close, because I live in that area, the roads are so close that who knows what's going to happen in that area. I mean, if you're going to be, the road's going to be closed, and it just needs to be physically closed and not have it for people to drive back and forth and having someone stand out there and flag people to go in and not go in.
Okay. I can bring up those issues to Mark at the office and to the contractor and let them know.
And if we can please at least get an answer back to our city staff fairly quickly.
Trust me, you have a question.
Yes, of course.
It's been brought to my attention. A lot of people were under the impression that Benz Engelmann was going to be from city limits to city limits. Well, city limits is on Springfield Road, not at that first group of houses. So, and that's where y'all are started. You started there and moving on. What's going to happen to the rest of Springfield Road?
That portion, that I don't have a good answer for you, sir, on that, but that I'm not aware of as far as who made the limits. But I can definitely find out.
I know I was under the impression that we were going to go all the way to Springfield Road. That was my understanding anyway.
Sure. Any more questions?
And also, if we can look into, there's several residents that their cable is being interrupted from construction. So Spectrum was out, and AT&T was out, and when the residents were calling their providers, they were saying that it was due to the construction, and they weren't really getting an answer from their provider other than it was construction. So if we can find out specifically what the construction is doing to the actual providers of the internet and
okay.
Further questions?
Ask Mark when the discussion arose that they were going to be allowed to shut off the entire street. I thought we were only shutting off one side or the other side.
Or is it going to be a full?
Instead of taking that whole sections in the phases like they're talking about, I thought it was supposed to be, we'll just say the right side or the northbound or the southbound traffic.
Right. Partial lane closure.
Right. So you still have one lane completely open, whether fire, EMS, public, whoever can still go back and forth while they're doing construction on the other side, and when that one side's complete, then they can start tearing up the other side. That was the assumption I had when I was at the meetings and everything else when this project first started.
Okay.
That was initially what they explained as well.
Yep.
that only they would be doing it. I mean, I get the fact that they close it down to make it, you know, so they can finish. But if they're allowing traffic to go there through there anyway, directing it, it's kind of defeating the purpose of shutting the entire street down.
I know the cost is a lot cheaper if you do one whole piece at a time.
Yes, sir.
Then it's going to be doing it correctly, one side and the other side for traffic flow. Because like I said, at PD, we've got people running stop signs there, even SACC with their rigs, which I have video of, running stop signs, normal traffic flow running through there, running stop signs at the four ways. That's what I'm saying. So we're getting into this where they're shutting down a complete street. The average person that lives on that section for phase one being told they cannot go to their residence from 7 a.m. till whatever time it was that the mayor said. I don't understand that.
Okay.
Will that information come to you, Patty, or will it come to you?
Okay. And I did, as a matter of fact, yesterday morning, spent about 45 minutes out there waiting to talk to the contractor on that and some other issues. And the way they have it set up, completely what against what I understood, because along with Councilmember Pierce, I remember they were to close the north side and then work on the south side until the south side was done, divert traffic, and then do the north side. But that's not what I saw happening. And like we had said before, the way they got the detours and the through traffic versus no traffic, it was even confusing to me moving through there. So I'm not really sure what the, when I talked to him, he was going to address the signage and then some of the other issues with the hose usages and the traffic.
And I believe that there's several of us who are just a little bit frustrated because we were told that there was going to be a huge oversight on this project because SAC also did another project that we had some issues with. So it was said that we were going to have a bigger oversight for the fact that it was an MPO project and that, you know, there's just a lot of unanswered questions, and we're not actually getting the answers to the questions that we need to supply the residents, but also for our own information as far as that. All of us live here, but we all travel these roads, and it's just difficult to inform citizens because it seems like, you know, that SAC or Ford Engineering or whoever else is involved in the project doesn't actually know those answers to those questions. So if you can please address those and then get them back to our chief of police,
you bet,
as soon as possible, so that we can disseminate that information to the residents, especially the ones, you know, that live in that area.
Yes, ma'am.
Any further questions? Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, item 8G, discussion and possible action on Economic Development Committee city entrance signage. We have posted a notice of possible quorum for our Economic Development Committee since this is an agenda item, and they were going to be here. So I will turn this over to Councilmember Lehman.
Okay. I apologize for one, why Ms. Jackson isn't here. I don't know. But I will present and ask the council what we're trying to do. Y'all were all given a little flyer this evening. This is primarily what the new signs that we're planning on the Economic Development Committee is going to put up in three different locations in the city. The first one is going to be on 78, somewhere close to HEB. We haven't gotten an okay from them yet, and we need to go to the state anyway to find out how far back we have to set from 78's frontage road. You know, those are just a lot of little questions. But our committee took it on themselves to make a banner so that y'all would be able to actually see what this sign is going to look like. Mr. Jose Garcia and another one of our council members.
Committee members.
Diego.
Diego.
Diego, He just came aboard, and I can't even remember his name yet.
Is there anything else besides you three?
No.
Okay.
Just us three.
I just want to make sure that we recognize you guys.
That's what the sign will actually look like. Right below the small city, Big Heart, there'll be a border in this rock just below that, and it'll give us room that in the future we can have advertisers to maybe that they want to donate some money to it, and down the line it'll help pay for it. Okay, the big question for us is the EDC committee. You know, we presented a cost to the council here a few months back, and everybody liked to jump through their skin with the cost. We have broken it down since then. Mr. Grossenbeck, over here at the masonry company, he's broken it down into how much each sign would cost us. His original bid was he was going to do three of them, you know, bam, bam, bam. But now that we're only going to do one at a time, possibly one each year, kind of changed his cost, because now he's got to, instead of ordering a truckload of concrete and pouring all the pads, now he's got to sit there with a wheelbarrow and mix up a yard and a half of concrete to pour the pad with. This costs money, and I understand that. At our committee meeting the other night, the committee put a cap that we were going to ask the city if we could take money out of the EDC account to help pay for the sign. Originally, the sign was going to run us around $4,200 or something like that, $4,300. We ended up agreeing to put a cap on it of $5,000. Well, my bid that I got from Mr. Grossenbach this afternoon, the basic bid came in at $5,196, so we're already over the $5,000 cap. And that's not including the welcome, small city, big heart letters. We still have to figure out where we're going to get those and how we're going to mount them on the concrete wall. Just to drop back, instead of this being a concrete slabbed sign, the sign will be made out of rock. So it's going to give us a completely different atmosphere than what you see other signs around. We're trying to dress it up. We're pushing hard to do all of this because we've got these new businesses coming into Kirby, and we're trying to show them also that, hey, you know, we're trying to promote Kirby also. It boils down to the point right now, and that's what I was trying to ask Tina right before the meeting. How much money did we actually have in our account? Now, I don't know where all the money's been spent to. That's because we originally had $10,000, and we've only had one facade program that applied for money this year. So we're looking at $1,500 there. But Tina's telling me that we got just over $7,000 left in the account. Well, even at that, I'm asking the city's permission to let us use We don't know what these letters are going to cost. So we're looking at $5,500 to $6,000 at the most. Now, we're only going to spend what we have to spend. The rest of it that we didn't spend, we'll just leave it right in our account. So we're not taking anything out just to spend money. We're only taking out what we have to pay our bill for.
Was part of that the Business Alliance meeting? The Business Alliance? That was where some of it went?
We have a local public that we pay for the web hosting that we pay for each month, and then quarterly we pay for the website.
Oh, for EDC. So the $1,500 that Jerry's talking about, was that already given, or is that, because I know that somebody had applied for it, so is that the one who just recently applied for it, or is there another $1,500 that will be?
No, that's the one.
The one that I know of is we paid in May,
$1,053. Right. Okay, so there's... I knew that there was one out there from Wingate, but I wasn't sure if that was the one that was paid out. Okay, so that was already paid.
So, like I told you a while ago, we have $2,300
for the website. So, at this point, you know, even if we... If we asked, the city would relinquish $6,000. We would still have a little over $1,000 left in the account. And primarily, we've only got, I think, 3 months left.
Correct.
For anybody to make an application for a facade program. So, I mean, we can work that out, but I don't think we'll use that amount of money. But just so that we knew we could use it, because the lettering situation is our biggest holdup right now.
So what has to be spent out of the other? What has to be spent out of the economic development part?
Of the monthly fee of $50 that we pay. And then we pay a quarterly fee.
So, right, so $150 would be June, July, August, September.
The last one we paid was June.
Okay, so July, August, September, so $150.
And then the quarterly website maintenance
is, and what is that?
Well, the last one we paid was $187.50,
okay.
And that was for January through May. So we're looking at June.
So another $200 or so? So EDC is asking for $6,000 of that money to go towards that sign, correct?
Towards the... Building the sign, yeah.
Of the money that's in the account for EDC?
Yes.
That's their money,
right.
Though.
Yeah, that's the money we're asking.
Right. So why does council, if the money's in there for EDC, allotted to EDC, they can't spend it?
Well, that's what Monique told us, that we would have to approach the council to get an okay for y'all to relinquish the money. Now, I agree with you. If that's in the EDC's account.
Is it in the general fund? That's why? Okay. All right. So it's allotted for EDC, but it's still in our general fund. Okay. Got it. All right. So Jerry is asking, Council Member Lehman is asking for permission for EDC for $6,000 of that money that's allotted to them to go to the sign.
Can I ask a question about the sign?
Of course you can.
Councilman Lehman,
yeah.
You said that the sign would be made out of stone, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you're talking about the letters on the sign. If the sign is stone, what material would be the city emblem and the letters?
Yeah, yeah, just the welcome. The welcome.
So what's the
at
material?
The top?
Made, what is it going to be made out of on this concrete
yeah.
sign?
So what is the material going to be? What is this emblem going to be made
oh,
out of?
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Let me back up a little bit then. The black circles and stuff you see, that is going to be all cut out of a 3/8 steel plate.
Okay.
And it'll look almost exactly like that, only it'll be a 3-foot circle.
Okay.
Okay. We was worried about how are we going to make that look, how are we going to get it to stand out? Okay, so I went back to Rosenbach, and he suggested that his son can go ahead and make a round metal plate, same size as the sign, and they're going to paint it blue. That sign there will be mounted on the blue.
Like a 3D effect.
Yeah,
okay.
And he's going to put little studs behind it so it'll bring it out, and that'll give a depth figure to it. So.
Okay, so is that part of the $5,100 bid that you received today?
Yeah, yeah, that's all in the original bid. The only letters that we're looking at is the welcome and the small city big heart is those letters that we're having to worry about.
Okay. So that's not in the bid that you received, but
right.
Would Grossenbeck be the one to give you the bid for those letters?
As of this afternoon, when I picked up the bid from him, he was still waiting from his supply people.
Okay.
And he's trying to save us money, and he's trying to get a price from a plastic supply company.
Community plastic.
So the letters would end up being plastic or Lexan if we wanted to, you know.
The UV on that would take a toll pretty quick
yeah.
within about 5 years.
Huh?
The UV, the sun on that Lexan would take its toll on that in about 5 years.
I think they need
no
to be the iron, the cast iron, the steel, like.
So really, it would be better if we tried to find somebody to cut those letters out in metal.
Yes.
They would last forever.
Well, yeah, because you could have somebody do. You're referring to painting, but they could anodize it. I mean, there's all sorts of different processes now where you can take a hammer to that stuff that's been painted with the different processes, and it won't even chip.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to spend the money, then make it worthwhile.
I agree.
But again, depending on where this sign's going, you've got people doing 50 miles an hour. I like that 3D effect that you're looking at, but somebody doing 50 miles an hour isn't going to be paying attention. They'll see it, but I don't think they're going to realize the three-dimensional effect that it's having.
Is it at the stop sign? I mean, the stoplight? Is that where the intent is?
Originally, we talked about putting it on the east corner of HEB's property, right there at that street. But the more I look at it, you've got a tree that's right there. You've got a fence that comes up to that corner. I just don't see the process of putting that sign, because it almost be backed right up against a fence to start with. And we'd have to bring it off of 78, ever how far the state says we have to bring it back.
And the state, y'all are still waiting on state specs?
We haven't even come.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the other thought was, if we went to the other side of HEB, right past their drive going into their warehouse, that flat area of land, it's kind of wide open there. put the sign there, and it would be right out in the open.
Have you spoken with HEB about doing that project?
Huh?
Have you spoken with HEB about placing the sign there?
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, we're trying to find out. We're trying to see if we're going to get the money. And it,
so y'all are looking for funding first, and then
for the funding,
then the option of where
we will get with HEB and see an option which way that they would give us permission to do it, and then we got to go to the state and get their rules and regulations, and once we get that, then we're ready to roll.
But you're talking about going to the state, going to HEB, already having a sign done that you may or may not be able to use per maybe the state's regulations. Does it fall within the city of Kirby's regulations for signage that's supposed to be here in the city? I mean, I would have thought I'd gone and got all that information or got everything squared away and made sure and then said, hey, this is what we want. And then, boom, you can get it done.
Well, sorry, I'm not that bright, I guess.
It's not but, saying that. I'm just asking because...
I mean, you know, Mr. Garcia, he's been down this road getting this sign to put up on his property.
Yeah, and he's forthcoming and been doing all the hard work and doing the pre-planning
right
and everything
now.
Else to get it done. And then once he got all that done, and while that was being done, he still got to pay for that sign. I mean, have you bought that sign already?
Yes.
Okay, but did you buy the sign before you got everybody's approval?
No.
Okay.
No, we got everything in place subject to approval.
Right.
Yes.
But then you went after then purchased the sign. Once you had everybody, once you touched base with everything that you needed to touch base with, then he said, okay, guys, we're going to go get this sign. Oh, wait, no. There's a better sign made here in the USA. Going to cost me more money. But I'm going to go with that because of the warranties and the sign. But that's what I'm saying. You did that first.
So the rock sign, though, is similar to, like, what? Is that the other entrance, right?
On
I mean,
Ackerman.
It's going to be
well,
rock?
No.
But as far as stone, I mean, there's not. I mean, he's going to be able to do the whole sign, though. Right.
Yeah. He's got enough rock, and he's donated all the rock for all three signs. So the only thing that he's charged as far as his labor to build a sign, and it'll be 6 foot by 6 foot.
Did he say how long it would take once they started? I only say that because if we do... what Councilmember Pierce was saying as far as the sign itself, while those approvals, you know, to see if HEB, yeah. I really don't think it'll be a problem, but TxDOT maybe, that maybe in the time that it takes from them to get the approval, then from the time he's, you know, it's okay to go for it, then it will all come out at the same time as far as the same time frame.
Yeah, he has no problem, and he understands...
Right.
That we're going to get the permission from the two different people
right.
where we're going to put it and stuff. And he's ready to go anytime we're ready to go.
This
I mean, you know, weird. It can still boil down. Like you were saying, what if HEB didn't give us permission to put the sign up? What if the state said, no, you can't put it in here?
I just don't want the money to be spent and then you guys are out. And it's like, okay,
we're not
going to
be out nothing. The money's still going to be in the EDC account.
Not
we're not taking any money out.
Now,
huh?
If you put that money and buy that now, what you're talking about, that's why we're sitting here looking at the approving $6,000.
All we're doing is getting permission from the city. Can we use that money when we have to pay the bill? We're not.
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I mean, you know, and if something fell through that we couldn't end up putting the signs up, the money is still in the...
So it's just a matter of securing the funding first and then securing the funding, then going to get the approvals. And if the approvals are made, then you move forward. And if not, nothing happens.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I contact the state and I forward the information to Patty regarding this particular sign,
decision is if we are responsible for the maintenance of the sign, the state will have no problem on it, on approving our project. So with the state, I think it's going to be a smooth transition. With the city, I mean, I think 6x6 follows under the guidelines of the regulations. But we did contact the state regarding this particular project.
Would this be considered a city asset, being this is on the side of the road at a high traffic area? If a motorist hits it, would our city insurance repair this sign? And like, you know, some of our residents, which I know it's against our city ordinance now, we can't have brick mailboxes. Because I know if somebody plows into a brick mailbox and they get hurt, that homeowner is liable for the injuries of that person hitting their mailbox. Is the city of Kirby going to be liable for the injuries for somebody hitting our sign on the side of the road?
Where did Mark go? Oh, I was like, you were over there.
I moved up, Mayor, okay?
Well, you were hidden by the sign earlier.
I like that, you know? I could just do what I wanted behind the sign. You know, typically when city property is damaged by a third party, whether it's a citizen or a non-citizen, and it's reported to your insurance carrier will pursue the actual party who caused the damage and will attempt to recover from their insurance carrier. As the city could directly, although it's a lot more efficient to just let your insurance folks deal with it and deal with the driver who ran into its insurance. So I really don't think the city will have an inordinate amount of risk in that regard. I do think, having heard this whole discussion, that if the council were inclined, the motion on this item could be to authorize up to $6,000 for the signage that Mayor Pro Tem Lehman has presented, provided that no funds be spent until the Economic Development Committee has obtained both TxDOT and landowner consent for placement of the sign. And that might be a way to continue your discussion, but have a motion in front of the council.
You said six, right? Mm-hmm. 6,000, right?
Yeah. And I don't think we're going to use that.
Until what?
So per our attorney, if one was to make a motion, it would be up to $6,000 for signage. The signage information that was providing that no funds were spent until the EDC received the proper approval from said landowner or TxDOT.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the Economic Development Committee to spend up to put a cap on $6,000, but no money is to be spent until the approval of the landowner and TxDOT has been received.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to allow EDC to spend up to the $6,000 for the signage presented, providing no funds be spent until EDC receives the approval from said landowner and or TxDOT. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
I'm going to abstain.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
Okay. Mayor, let me add a couple of things so that people know what we're trying to do. The banner that we had made up, the city can also use that banner like at the 4th of July celebration, because the banner has nothing to do, nothing to say about the EDC program. It's going to be a city banner. So they could use it down there. Come next year when the firemen have their parade, they could use it as a parade banner in the parade. They could put it up down there also, you know.
Awesome.
So the banner can be used anywhere they want to in the city. I mean, it's going to belong to the city. The other, and let me just say, you know, originally we talked about three signs. Okay, that's where number one is going. Next year, if all goes well, we're going to put the next sign up on the east property line on Ben Zingerman Road, possibly right in the park area, the land that belongs to the city. You know, we could put it right there on Ben Zingerman Road, right there. The third sign is going to go on the other end of Ben Zingerman. That one is kind of up and down because we don't know where we're going to be able to put it. I know Diego is putting his buildings up there, and they're going to have a bakery on the corner of it up there. So we don't know if there's going to be enough room at that corner to be able to put it. So we might have to bring it down to like the old boundary line right in there, you know, because it don't have to be right on the boundary line.
Right.
But that's the three places that we're planning on putting these signs. That's our agenda for the city.
Okay. Well, funding has been established with that, okay, with those requirements. So as soon as EDC gets that information, if we can have that back on the agenda so that we can get moving on that with all those approvals and the designs and Mr. Grosbeck.
Okay.
The additional pieces that Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge was asking about as far as the lettering is concerned. If we can, that piece of the metal instead of the plastic, you know, so that we can look at that piece so that it is something that lasts.
I'll start working on that. And I don't know if Mr. Grossenbach's son has gotten into the metal business. He's the one that's making this sign to start with because he's got himself a $20,000 laser cutter. So...
Well, and then that way they can do the different options, and then we can bring it back. And then,
and
so
if he can make the metal letters, depending on what he's going to charge us, I don't know.
Well, that's what I said. But y'all just get that information. As soon as EDC has that information, then we'll bring it back to the next council meeting, and then we can go from there. It's a pretty sign.
Okay. Appreciate it.
All right. Item 8H, discussion and possible action on results for May 5th, 2018 bond election. This is not an action item, but I will turn it over to our city secretary.
Yes, ma'am. At our last council meeting, it was brought to our attention that the EDC would be. Yes, ma'am. At our last council meeting, it was brought to our attention about a discrepancy with the total number of votes for the bond election. I reached out to their county elections, and they did let me know that it is 234 votes.
And that's what the resolution that we had actually voted.
It did not have the total number of votes on it. It had the number of votes for
and against.
Yes. Yeah. For and against.
But if I remember correctly, the resident was saying that the numbers on the paper did not total.
Correct. Those numbers were wrong.
Okay.
Item 8I, update discussion and possible action regarding revisions to stop intersections in the Chapter 72 of the Code of Ordinances. On April 12th, we had heard from our police chief regarding some signage and what their recommendations are, so we are bringing it back.
Yes, ma'am. We had originally talked about removing the stop signs that were set up at three-way intersections. They weren't really needed.
personally, since that's y'all's suggestion and y'all are the ones who do that, I don't have a problem with those suggestions at all. Anybody else?
Well, I thought we already passed the removal. So then I guess we've got to bring everything back to council.
For a resolution. Change the ordinance.
On a resolution.
With an ordinance.
So I don't see why we don't do that. If we've already approved it once to do something of that nature.
The chief may have just used the word resolution when he meant to use ordinance. Because you can only amend an ordinance with another ordinance. So I do think even if the council approved the concept at the April meeting, since it's in the code of ordinance that these are listed under stop intersections, the chief is correct that the way to deal with this officially is to follow the charter provisions about first reading and second reading of an ordinance to make the correction.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion to bring this Chapter 72 of the Code of Ordinances back at our next meeting to be voted on.
Make a motion to bring it back at the next meeting.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to bring the Chapter 72 of the Code of Ordinances to the next meeting with the revisions of the stop signs to be voted on and discussed. Any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 9A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events, community interest. Councilmember Wilson.
I don't have anything except that I will not be here next meeting. I'm going with a group of people down to Rockport to work on some houses. So we'll be gone all that whole week.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge? I don't have anything except for July 4th, fireworks in the park. It's July 4th from 7 p.m. to 10. They are saying no outside food or drinks, free parking before 6 p.m. After 6 p.m. it's $5 a car, and the fireworks sponsored by HEB are at 9:15 p.m. That's all I got. Councilmember Lehman?
I don't have anything tonight.
Okie dokie. Councilmember Pierce?
Just thank everybody and all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day.
June 16th, which is Saturday, there will be a Hugo Lentz park cleanup. All right. So that will be from 8 to 10. All right. And I'm sorry? Okay. All right. So
last time.
All right. So Hugo Lentz cleanup, June 16th, which is Saturday from 8 to 10. We will meet at the pavilion at Hugo Lentz. Okay, and then also at 11 a.m. on June 16th, there will be a book share, the little library meetup, and the venue is not at the VFW this Saturday. It will be at PD at 11 a.m. So that will happen. And then June 23rd, the Welcome Back to Summer will be happening at the Kirby Senior Center from 11 to 5, I believe. 11 to 5? Yes? Okay. So that will happen, and there was one more. We were all given the City of Kirby budget calendar, so everybody please review this and look at the dates and make sure that you're at the meetings that we need to be at, just to make sure that we have a quorum so that none of that piece of it fails there. And then if we can bring back all of the specific ordinances that we needed to bring back and all the action items to that next one. And Chief, as soon as you hear back from Ford Engineering, if you could please let us know, and possibly if you don't hear back from them by Wednesday, reach out to make sure that we get all those information. Is there anything else? All right, happy Father's Day. Thank you everybody for coming. Thank you.